Great to worship here, isn't it? Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be at a place where just as we're talking live here in our auditorium with the audience, thousands, Addison can tell us, I'm not going to be here on Easter because I'm going to the beach. What a great place, really. Love me this church. That doesn't happen in a lot of churches, you know. Y'all know that? Doesn't happen. It's good. It's great. We're going to talk about some of those today. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We're studying, we're talking about the armor of God. We're talking about putting it on. What is it? We're going to put it on. If you've got a Bible, that'd be handy. Bibles are good. Some of you may have a Bible on your phone or your iPad or something like that. That's good too. But having a Bible is good. Sometimes we put things up on the screen. You can read along, but not today, not this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 talks about the armor of God. And I wanted to get into it by thinking about why do we need such a thing? Well, let's read verse 10. Finally, Paul all does this in his letters when he's talking to his buddies. He's particularly in prison writing to a church that he spent more time in Ephesus than any other place he went. These were his homies. These were his people. But he's in prison in Rome, and he's writing them this letter. And at the end of the letter, he says, finally, like, this is it. Okay, I'm winding up the letter, and this is the thing I really need you to know. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay? Boom. I'm trying to make this go. No? Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, well, got to turn it on. There's an on button on this. Bingo. We're going to have trouble in this world. Where does that trouble come from? Well, it's from the devil and his schemes, right? He's our enemy. All right? He's not flesh and blood enemy. He's our enemy. He's not flesh and blood enemy. He's our enemy. So, that's important. We need spiritual armor. We don't need armor that's going to protect us from flesh and blood. You know, you don't go to a gunfight with a knife. Think about that for a second. You don't go to a gunfight with a knife. You got to get dressed up with the armor that's going to defend you against your enemy. And our enemy's not flesh and blood, so we need what? Okay, so here he is. Back to Ephesians 6 in your Bible. Therefore, because our enemy's not flesh and blood, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, there's going to be this moment where, boom, they attack. And it could be today. As a matter of fact, sometimes feels like it's every day. How many of you ever felt like that? Oh, my goodness, this whole month. Okay? When the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And if you've done everything to stand, then stand firm. And then he tells these are the parts of the armor. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We talked about that belt of truth last week. If you don't have the belt of truth, your pants are going to fall down. And worse, Satan's lies are going to penetrate you. And then he says, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's pray for that. God, today we ask for ears that hear, hearts that are open, and that words will be spoken that tell us the truth, that encourage us, and that protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. That's important. We need spiritual armor, and so that's what we're talking about. And so today we're going to talk about the breastplate. It's odd. It's an odd thing, I think, the breastplate. But the breastplate guards the heart. The breastplate guards the heart. I want you to think of it like a bulletproof vest, okay? You've got this bulletproof vest on, and it's to protect you from getting shot in the chest. Most people don't wear bulletproof leggings, you know? Because you get shot in the leg, that's going to hurt. It's going to wound you, but you're not going to die, probably. Well, you might. But you got a bulletproof vest. It's guarding the heart. And from the beginning, when Moses got the law and Aaron would wear this symbolic breast garment that guarded his heart. Because when he went into the tabernacle to make decisions to pray, it was symbolic that his heart would be guarded. And we need something to guard our heart. Now, I want you to remember last week, we said that the primary weapon of the enemy was deception. Satan is a liar. He's a good one. Sometimes he tells half-truths to make his lies more effective, and we talked about many of those lies last week, but his primary weapon is deception, okay? Now, when we talk about this, we put on the belt of truth to guard against deception. But it's not just about incorrect information. The lies he tells isn't just saying 2 + 2 = 5. Now, that would be a lie. But it's not just incorrect information that's going on, because our heart is the home of our desires. Has your heart ever been deceived? Huh? Has your heart ever been deceived? I can remember a time. It was 2001. Now, here's what you guys in this auditorium, you know, we're here in Arlington, Texas. And so we've transitioned out of football season, so we began to put away our Cowboys stuff. And this particular year, we didn't get to wear our Mavericks stuff just because the Mavericks were bad, right? Am I right? Just give me some amen back there. Sorry. So we're already beginning to put on our what? Boom, we're going to put on our Texas Rangers stuff. Back in 2001, there was great anticipation for the Rangers. You know why? In 2001, they had just gotten this great shortstop from the Seattle Mariners. And his name was Alex Rodriguez. And all was going to be well, right? And how do you feel about Alex Rodriguez today? I don't know a person in the Metroplex, you know, who would dare say they're a fan of Alex Rodriguez. Our hearts were deceived. We thought he was going to be it, but he wasn't. Our hearts are vulnerable always to deception, and especially when our desires are self-centered. Man, this is, the Bible speaks of this. And in Proverbs, it says, guard your heart. And in Jeremiah, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Last week, lie number one, we talked about last week about truth, and lie number one is you got to make yourself happy. This comes because our heart wants to be happy, and we'll fall for almost anything that promises happiness for our heart. We're vulnerable. We're easily deceived. Our hearts need to be guarded. And sometimes when we're seeking something that is not good for us, we'll lie to ourselves. And especially if we can tell that, like Satan, that half-truth. Like, for instance, did you know that donuts are a source of protein? Can we say amen? Donuts, and it's true. Because, you know, I want a donut, and so I'm going to tell myself the good things about donuts. I'm going to be, all of a sudden, donuts are becoming health food. Maybe they put it in a different section. Well, and this is what we want. When we want something, when we think something's going to make us happy, we'll tell ourselves anything in order to get it, okay? Because our heart, it has this longing for satisfaction, and we'll see something and desire it, and we think it's going to be just the thing. And we're in a world, and we're so influenced by other people in our world. Remember, you know, all of a sudden, especially parents, you know, you're not in charge anymore of your kids' thoughts. You were back when they're about this big, but now they have friends, and their friends are telling them, this is what's good. And they'll tell you, you know, everybody's doing it. And the thing is, you use the same excuse on your parents. Remember those days? Yeah, like today. And you'll do the same thing, even talking to yourself. Your parent's self is saying, don't eat that donut. And my adolescent self is saying, it's got protein. We're having this conversation, you know, because my heart is easily deceived. And so I need a guard around my heart, a breastplate, a bulletproof vest that keeps the enemy from attacking. And so what Paul calls it is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is going to be tricky because the word righteousness is not a good feeling kind of word in 2018. If you look at the history of words, back in the turn of the 20th century, when it was becoming the 20th century, righteousness was an okay word. But it became a negative word, where now, most of the time, when the word righteousness is used in the United States, it's used this way, self-righteousness. It's almost never used straight up righteous or righteous indignation. These are the two main ways the word righteous is used. So this word doesn't feel warm or fuzzy. But the breastplate, the bulletproof vest we need to guard our heart is righteousness. Now, we are a church that has kind of stepped away from what I'm going to call church rules. We don't like rules. Look in the back of our bulletin. It tells what we are and what we're not. You know what? We're not about rules. You know? But the problem is, sometimes we need some rules. And we want to call them something softer, like guidelines. Or maybe suggestions. Yeah. But sometimes what we need to guard our heart is a breastplate of righteousness. And in Ephesians, Paul gives us that, and we're going to look at these in chapter 4. Starts in chapter 4, goes all into chapter 5. And what it is, you know what? It's a stinking list. It's a list, and we thought we were going to get away from those lists. Back in the Old Testament, there are how many commands? No. There's more than that. There's 10 commandments, you're right, but Pam knows, because she told us how she broke all but one of them. There's 600 and something like that. I mean, I don't know how many Pam said. How many? 633, something like that. Well, Paul's not going to give us quite that many. But I want you to notice what these rules are about. They're about guarding our heart. Okay? It's not about self-righteousness. It's not about being good enough. It's about guarding our heart, because our heart is vulnerable. It's vulnerable to lies. Okay, so here's where it starts in verse 25. And I'm just going to kind of give a summary of these. I'm not going to have the whole verse, but first one is don't lie. And it always gives you not only what not to do, but something you should do. So don't lie, instead speak truthfully. If you are a liar, well, first of all, if you're a liar, raise your hand. Now, how do you know if you're not a liar? Because you might be lying, you know, you're not a liar. I mean, how do you know? But it's an odd predicament we're in here about lying. But lying, okay, what's the problem with lying? Well, there's many, but one is it causes our heart to hurt. Now, at the beginning of a lie, it's usually because I want to try to get out of some kind of pain, or I want to try and gain some kind of benefit that I don't really deserve. That's why the lie begins, but the lie always ends up bad. And so it's not like God is saying, don't do this or I'm not going to love you. He's not saying, if you lie, Lucas, you're out. Go home, don't ever come back. He's saying, don't lie, because if you lie, your heart is going to be not protected. So don't lie. The second one, don't let anger cause you to sin. Man, there was a day, sometimes I get in somebody else's lane when I'm driving. It's an accident. I've told you I got some driving issues. And sometimes when you kind of just nudge into another person's lane, they drive by you and they make angry gestures. And I'm not sure that's the sin we're talking about here, but sometimes when you get angry, you do things you shouldn't do. Don't let anger cause you to sin. Number three is don't steal. But instead of stealing, work so that you can share. Now, this is the real important thing about this list. Everything about it is going to be something, don't do this, but instead do this good thing. It's not just a list of don'ts, but it's a list of this is how my heart, these are the things that are going to guard my heart. So don't steal. If I steal, my heart is going to become focused on the thing I've stolen. It's not going to be a pure, good heart. My heart is going to learn this lie that this thing is going to make me happy. Instead, what are things for? Yeah, they're to share. So work. It says instead work so that you can share. And then it says don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Instead, only what builds up others. Some of us need this thing. And in Psalms, it talks about this guard on our mouth. We need a mouth guard. We need a mouth guard. And it's not just, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not that. That's part of it. But part of it is we need a guard on our mouth so the things we say will only be things that are building up someone else. If I'm not saying something that's going to build you up, I need to keep my mouth shut. If it's not building up, it doesn't need to be said. You know, sometimes people can say true things, but they're not building people up, okay? Now, sometimes you do need to say something that's true that's also hard to hear. And it may be building someone up. Like every once in a while, I always appreciate it if someone tells me if my zipper is down. These are things you need to know. Or something else like that in your life. You know, some of you are living life like, you know, maybe you should quit saying that thing to your mother that you keep saying. You know, you're trying to build up. It doesn't mean you're always saying the easy thing. Sometimes the easy thing isn't what builds up. But you're going to say things that are building up, not unwholesome talk. And it says, don't let bitterness or rage or slander, let none of that. Instead, be kind and compassionate and forgiving. Now, what are these rules for? They're to guard your heart. And then there's this other list that keeps going in chapter 5. Don't let sexual immorality or impurity or greed come into your life. Why? Guarding your heart. Sexual immorality leaves your heart open to Satan's attack. Okay? It's not just that I can check the list, I'm good. You know, it's not about being good. So even the term righteousness, I'm going to move on from the list a little bit. Righteousness focuses our hearts on doing the right things. That's what the list is about. It helps our heart focus. But there's another word. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Here's the way I believe this fits, that the motivation or the desire and the ability to do right things comes from the heart. Why do I want to say things that build up? Why had I rather not say things that tear down? Sometimes I'm angry. I think you did something dumb or stupid or wrong. And there's words that want to come out of my mouth, but they don't build up. See, it's my heart problem. If I have my heart, if my heart is good for you, and what I want or desire in my heart is what's best for you, okay, this is where we're headed with righteousness. I have a righteous heart. And I want to move into this idea that can our heart be trained so that the only thing I ever want to say are things that build up. Sometimes my desire is to say something that doesn't build up. I mean, I have a desire to say things that are going to tear you down. But could my heart be changed? Okay, this is a question. Can my heart change so that really the only thing I want to say are things that build up? Okay, think about that for a second. Can we train our desires? Can we train our desires, our motivation? Now then, would you think about these two words, righteousness and justice? What if, right off the bat, what do you think about differently when you think of the word righteous and just? Thinking about that, righteous and just. Something that's righteous, something that's just. Well, actually, in the two languages that the Bible were written in, Greek and Hebrew, both the words for Hebrew and in Greek that are translated righteous are also translated just. It could just as easily be saying that seek first His, justice instead of His righteousness. Seek first, or it could say the breastplate of justice. Now, what does that change in your thinking right now? Okay, well, let me tell you what changes in my thinking, since all of y'all are not going to preach the sermon, just me. When I think of righteous, I think of good moral behavior. I want to be good. When I think of just, I think of ethical behavior towards someone else. I want to be fair. Okay, does that make sense? Something that's just, it's fair. It's right, it's fair. It's good towards another person. Something that's righteous means I'm good. If I'm righteous, I'm good. If I'm just, I'm good toward you. Does this make sense? Okay, so righteousness is one level, but justice kind of takes it, ramps it up to another level. But here's the thing with God. He ramps it up even another level. It's not just that I'm going to be good, but I'm going to be good for you. This helps with the wholesome talk, right? I don't want to talk nasty. I only want to say things that build you up. So this is sort of the difference, you see. Talking nasty means I'm going to be good. Saying something that builds you up, I'm going to be just. Okay? I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be good. I'm going to do what's good for you. Here's the way God looks at it. Galatians 5 says, for the entire law, all the rules, all 633 of them, or however many were in Ephesians 4 and 5, all of them are summed up in keeping this one command. They're fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. This is God. Okay, the standard is pretty high, too high for me just to be good. Just being good is hard. But just being fair is even harder. That means I want to do everything just that's best for you. But when I get to the love part, I'm not even going to deny myself. I'm going to love you. And really the thought that's always guiding all my behavior, all my decisions is, what's best for you? What's best for my neighbor? The breastplate of righteousness It's what's, I begin to think, what's best for my neighbor? And what happens is my heart begins to change from a self-centered focus, what's best for me, to an others-centered focus, what's best for my neighbor? What's best for you? And so I become more patient, okay? I become more kind. I become more compassionate. All these things that were rules, now I just, these are becoming my nature because I'm beginning to look at life through this lens of love my neighbor as myself. Now, if I look back at the list of rules, really, every one of them also focused on my neighbor. Don't steal. I'm not going to steal. If I care most about what my neighbor's, what's good for my neighbor, I won't steal. I won't even be tempted to steal because I'm thinking about what's best for my neighbor. Of course I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking about what's best for my neighbor. Always thinking about what's best for our neighbor. This is the life he's calling us to live, not because we can be good enough, because our heart needs protection. Remember, the whole point of this is our heart needing protection. Let me kind of finish up here with this and talk about filthy rags or the robe of righteousness. Here's what happens. Sometimes our enemy attacks in other ways than just trying to tempt us. He attacks our heart with self-loathing and condemnation. And we begin to think of ourselves as less than a son or less than a daughter. We begin to think of ourselves as a failure. Because there's this list, and I haven't kept it, right? I've done my best, but I haven't kept the list. And so now then, the liar is still attacking our heart, but he's attacking it in a different way. I tried to speak the truth, but you know what? I lied. And so the enemy comes now and tells a lie to you, says, you're a liar. He begins to attack your identity. Okay? And so sometimes that's what happens. And sometimes the facts, some of the facts are on Satan's side. Here's the way, Isaiah has two scriptures that I want us to look at. One is Isaiah 64, verse 6. He says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. I want you to think about this, and this is the truth, and this is part of the truth that Danny was talked about today in our communion thoughts. The idea that the best I do is still not very good. The kindness that I am to others still sometimes, whew, on my very best day, I'm just okay. I'm a pretty selfish guy. And when I look at my history of righteous acts, I think of them kind of like the one pair of shoes. I'm in a line and these old people got, I'm not that good. And so Satan can attack me and say, well, Bob, you look at your best days. You know, even on your best days, you weren't all that hot. And so Satan is hammering me. He's hammering me where? Right in the heart. I need protection from that. And so, Isaiah 61 goes at it a different way. That the breastplate we wear isn't of our righteousness, it's of God's righteousness. Okay? Get this. The breastplate we wear is of God's righteousness, not our good deeds. You're never going to have a stack of good deeds big enough to be anything but filthy rags. So here's Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. Here's what God does. As we seek him, he comes and says, what you got on right now is your very best. I got something better for you. And he puts it on you. He gives you, he dresses you in his robe of righteousness. And he does that to protect your heart. Because he wants you to say, hey, in my eyes, you're perfect. And all of your best stuff, okay, you know, if we are grading it, comparing ourselves to other people, we're not going to look that good. But when I put my robe of righteousness on you, that's the robe, that's the breastplate that you wear. Not your righteousness, not your ability to follow the rules. Still, the rules are there for a reason. And there is some amount of urgency in focusing, I want to say focusing on loving others. When we focus on loving others, God protects our heart. I want you to think about this as a parent or a spouse, or for you guys on right here, maybe as a best friend. And let's say that suddenly Kevin got a new job, and now he's working for the Arlington Police Department. And his job is to go into places and where there are others who are trying to hurt people with guns, okay? And part of his uniform is a bulletproof vest. Would Kimberly want him to wear the vest? What if one day Kevin says, you know what? I'm tired of wearing that vest. I don't think I'm going to wear it today. What would Kimberly do? Dude, you ain't leaving without that vest. Get the vest on. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. Sometimes it's annoying. It doesn't look good under my shirt. I don't care if it looks good. I don't care if it's uncomfortable. Put the vest on. It's to protect your heart. The bulletproof vest is not about controlling. That's what we think about when we think of righteousness and rules. Well, I'm just trying to control you. Or I'm trying to shame you into doing something good. I'm trying to tell you that, you know, you're not good enough, and I am, because, you know, I obviously wear my bulletproof vest all the time, and you left yours in the closet yesterday. It's not about that. It's about protecting our heart. And so, first of all, and I guess the main message today is our hearts are vulnerable, and our hearts are under attack. What can we do? What can we do about that? It's this list. It's this checklist. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't be sexually immoral. These things are not just a problem of bad behavior. They're a problem about letting your heart being vulnerable to Satan's attack. Put on the breastplate. Wear the vest. Put it on. Because God loves you. God loves you so much that if you forget your vest, he's still going to put that robe of righteousness around you. And yet, it may cause you a lot of pain. We're not talking about something that's going to leave you as an unsaved person. But there's a lot of pain in your life that Satan wants to cause to you by attacking your heart. And your heart's vulnerable. And I need the list. I need to put on the vest, even though it might not feel good every day. I need the vest. And I want to have a sense of urgency about the vest. But I also know this, that my God is with me. Even on the days I didn't wear the vest. Even while I'm telling the lie, while I'm in the middle of telling the lie, my God is still with me, still fighting for me. He's still putting on me a robe of righteousness. And you say, well, then why does it matter, Bob? Because of the pain, man. Because of the pain that you're going to cause yourself and other people. And so put on the vest. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. We're going to sing the song Forever Rain. And there's this great part in this where, you know, I'm running to his arms, you know, because God is in charge. And whether my robe, my best stuff is just filthy rags, my best acts of righteousness are filthy rags, God is still, I'm still running to his arms. And when I get there, he's going to put on me his robe of righteousness. That's good news. Let's stand and sing.